All parties, the call is being recorded. If there are any objections to disconnect, thank you. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Okay, welcome everyone. It looks like we have Uta's not on, but Denise wasn't going to join us because of the board retreat. Liz,
actually, they're starting late, so this is Denise. I'm on.
Oh, hi Denise. I didn't even see you on the list here. How come you didn't show up there? Let's see.
I was not planning.
Oh, you're up
attending.
Earlier, and I looked right past it. No, you've been on there for a while, actually. So that was my mistake. Okay, thanks, Denise. Let's see, Liz Gasser on? No.
No,
okay.
She's in Seoul. So.
Okay. All right, and is Penelope on? I didn't think I. And then Glenn, you're on. So we actually have every constituency represented except for the intellectual property constituency, and a good representation for staff. So thanks everyone for this. I think I kind of just did a roll call. If I miss anybody, please speak up. I sent out a more detailed agenda yesterday. Any concerns about the agenda?
Just one comment. One, congratulations on creating one of the longest agendas we've ever seen in ICANN's history.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that compliment, any changes to the agenda? Okay. Not sure what that was.
Yeah, this is Gerard.
Who is this?
Yeah, okay.
I think you're on a wrong call.
He's having a private conversation.
Yeah, oh, okay. All right. So the first agenda action item on the agenda then is the next steps regarding...
Yeah, when did you get these?
Hello?
Yeah, you don't mind if I talk to
my
pet rabbit, Harvey, while we're doing this.
New Basmar, yeah.
Operator, can you see if we can get these? We've got some interference here. Glenn, would you check with the operator and see if we can get rid of that interference? Are you there, Glenn?
Yes, I am. Thank you. Chuck and I am checking.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right. Well, I'll try again. So... the first big decision I think we need to make is next steps regarding the previously submitted GNSO Improvements Implementation Plan. And I noted on the as a first sub-item there that we should change the name from top-level plan to implementation plan. And I think most people know the reason for that, but let me state that. The problem with using top-level plan, many people in the comment period were associating this plan with the top-level domains that were going to be introduced next year. So just to avoid that confusion, a simple change, I think, is in order unless anybody objects to that. So we won't use top-level plan going forward, just so that we avoid that confusion. If you look at the public comments, you'll notice that most of the comments were about top-level domains as a result of that confusion. Now, it's clear that some non-substantial edits need to be made to that plan. I took a crack at that, and at some point, as soon as we have time, we'll go through those and see if there are any others or see if the ones I suggested were appropriate. But if we put that aside for a moment, just the simple edits that need to be made that don't really change the content, the first question I think we need to answer is whether we are willing to recommend the plan as it is to the council. And if not, then determine what areas we want to discuss further, and then, of course, develop action items and timeline for completion of the plan. I noted there that Philip pointed out I included an awful lot of detail in agenda. I did that to kind of keep things moving quickly today. But ideally, and that's ideally in my mind, it would be really good if we could submit a plan, with some lead time before the 25 September council meeting so that the council could act on that. That then would allow us to get some things moving pretty well in the Cairo meeting. So anyway, that's an ideal. We may or may not accomplish that, but that's the thing. So let me open it up now for discussion on the current plan as it stands now. What are people's thoughts on that? Who would like to be in the queue?
This is John, Chuck.
Okay,
this
John,
is,
anybody else want to be in the queue?
Yes, Wolf.
Okay, Wolf.
Yep.
So I've got John and Wolf. Anybody else? Okay,
This is Milton. I just want to know, are we discussing we're approving your agenda approach, or are we actually substantively discussing?
We're discussing the question whether or not we would be willing to submit the plan with whatever minor edits need to be made as is.
I'll get in the queue then. Yeah.
Okay, good, Milton. I have you in the queue. And if not, then we'll talk about what things need to be discussed further. Okay? Anybody else? Okay, John, start us off, please.
I don't think we need to take a long time. I think we need to go through it with fresh eyes, and I think we need to not approve the plan as it is. There might be more than minor edits. There might be some more substantive edits. We don't know yet until we go through it.
Okay, thank you. Wolf?
Yes, let me say, so primarily we discussed also in the now consistency, and in principle we agree to the existing, to the present plan. So we have some amendments, some comments to what you also highlighted to discuss, but in principle we would agree to take this plan.
Thank you very much, Wolf. Milton?
Yeah, I think we need to discuss the plan and go through it, and I will be trying to argue for some simplification of the proposal.
Very good. Thank you. Anyone else want to jump in on this before we actually start talking about how to proceed and what areas should specifically be might warrant some consideration of amendments?
Chuck Phillips here. I think just to support the comments from John and Milton, I think we do need to review the plan in light of where we know the board are and where we know the uncertainties coming from the board also are.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Philip. Now, that's fine, and I actually thought that's what we would need to do. And so let's talk about how to proceed in that regard. We can obviously go through the plan bit by bit. Is it possible, rather than going through all of the plan, to identify specific areas that we should discuss further? What is the inclination of people on the team?
Milton here.
Go ahead.
I would just suggest that we start with some general comments so we know what people are targeting for change.
Is anybody uncomfortable with that? Then let's do that. So let me get a cue to, and let's start off just with identifying the areas where further consideration is needed, and then we'll go from there. Who would like to be in the queue? I assume John and Milton do. Is that correct?
That's right.
Sure.
Anybody else?
Philip.
Good. Okay. John, you want to start us off?
No, can I?
You want to defer? That's fine. I'll put you at the bottom of the queue. Okay. Milton.
Yeah, I want to come after John. No, I'm kidding. I think, like I said, I would be looking for simplification of the structure. I'm a little bit concerned that the standing committees are going to be standing for so long. I'm wondering if a lot of these issues can't just come to the council, and if the council needs to appoint an ad hoc committee at any given time for any given task, that it could do so, but that most of the time, you know, everybody would be represented and they would be going through the approval process as a council. That's one of my suggestions. I'm a little bit vague about the relationship of this structure to the creation of these new stakeholder groups, and I would just like for that to be clarified and discussed, and I'd like to hear people's ideas about that.
Yeah, and in that regard, we might find it useful before we talk too much detail about the plan of jumping ahead to agenda item 5, because that's really what I tried to deal with there, so that we could kind of get our heads around whether that process is part of this plan or totally separate, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk about. I'm gonna put that down, but we'll come back to that, and then once we get a list of parts of the plan that we want to talk about further, we'll decide whether we jump ahead to agenda item 5 and then come back to the plan. Okay? Anything else, Milton?
No.
Thanks.
No.
Philip.
Thanks. My main concern is that when we first wrote this plan, I mean, all of us had a certain, slightly more relaxed time frame in mind to implement issues in a certain structured way, to consider them thoroughly, to have the right time for intergroup consultation, etc. And that is in direct contrast to the timetable that the board has now presented to us.
I don't think that's true. Why do you think that's true?
Because the plan that we had, setting up various structures to do things, had in its inherent quite generous structure of committees, subcommittees, and teams, a structure that is geared to a longer time frame than doing it all by January, which is where the board seems to want us to be. And I think our overriding concern in the BC is that you can't just have, you know, people in seats by January without everything else also being in place, because they've got to do something once they're in those seats. If we're not empowered to do any votes because we haven't worked out how voting happens on thresholds and all these other questions, you have an impotent body. So These two things need to be seamlessly integrated, and we see a time scale challenge in that integration.
So what you're saying then is that, because I don't think the board was asking us to get all of the changes done by January, they were just asking that the seating of the bicameral structure approach happen. But what I hear you saying is that you don't think that it makes any sense to do that unless everything else is in place. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes. I mean, otherwise, I think we'll all be sitting in an empty room with nothing to do because we won't have any procedures to act upon.
Well, why couldn't the... until the other things are in place, I was assuming that we would go ahead, even though we would have the bicameral voting structure, but other than that, we would function pretty much as we have, and then make changes as they're implemented, as far as the broader recommendations are concerned. But I get your point. So,
Chuck, can I join the queue? It's Susan.
Sure. Do you want to talk specifically about this, Susan?
Yes, specifically on this topic, as long as we're on it.
Go ahead.
I think it would make sense, and is the outcome of the board's discussion, to have the bicameral structure in place and people seated in January. I think the dependency there is making sure that the voting thresholds have been established for triggering particular events. But other than that, our thought, as far as I'm aware, is that the stakeholder groups and others would be working on implementation of other elements of the restructuring following the seating of people, as Chuck is suggesting. So I hope that this group will energetically move towards creating the bicameral structure and seating people by January. That's what the board is expecting. But I don't think all of the dependencies need to be in place.
So Susan, will you and do you think the board will be happy with the concept that constituencies make temporary appointments in order to make that seating happen by January rather than have proper elections in a way that we envisage would happen once the integration of stakeholder groups has happened?
We haven't discussed it in that amount of detail, Philip. I personally would be happy with temporary interim appointments just to have people in place to begin in January.
And then, and Philip, you can tell by, I think, one of the ideas that I threw out in on the list was that, you know, it may very well be that we need some sort of an interim type seating with a clear understanding that within 3 to 6 months or something there would be a more more permanent thing. So I really anticipate the possibility of what you're talking about. So Susan, it would be helpful if you were able to get confirmation that that kind of approach, if we need it, would be okay.
I should be able to have a discussion about that today if I can insert it into the agenda.
Right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. But Philip, did you have anything else?
No, that's it for now.
Thanks a lot. John, are you ready, or do you want me to open up the queue first?
I guess my question is, having not been involved in the process before in this, getting in a high-level view of where we're going, you know, as far as the bicameral approach, the impact to the contracted party house is going to be a lot less than the impact to the non-contracted party house, in that it appears that we will have 3 registrars and 3 registry reps in the new world order, and we currently have that as well. So it's pretty simple for us to transition over. It's going to be harder for the non-contracted party folks because there's going to be a different mix. As far as the voting thresholds that we agree to as a package, assuming the board signs off on that, that's not going to change much with regard to seating new folks in January. So the long pole in the tent is really the non-contracted party house and whether they have enough time to move to this new structure or not. You know, once we get there, the question is, are these committees then taking over in helping with the implementation of the other recommendations, or are these standing committees, as in they'll be standing from, you know, time immemorial forward, essentially, with the new structure? And I'm not sure what role these new committees are having. Is it just an implementation, or is it going forward?
The teams at the bottom of the chart there really are where the main work would happen with regard to developing implementation plans that the standing committee then would pass on to the council for approval, and I assume ultimately board approval. So
is it a standing committee or is it a temporary committee?
What you have in the middle, and this is one of the topics that that Milton brought up there, are standing committees that are fairly small. I think we suggested they were only no more than 12, that have a coordination role because there are several tasks under each of those standing committees that really need coordination and so forth. And as far as the long-term nature of them, the concept was to have them serve the standing committees, not the teams at the bottom. The standing committees serve kind of an ongoing oversight role of continuous improvement, you know, taking a look at what's going on, and it becomes a mechanism for ongoing review and suggested changes as we go forward. So that's the idea of the long-term part. The initial part really is to implement, to oversee the implementation of the of all of the recommended changes from the board, and to be an intermediary between the council so that everybody on the council doesn't have to be as intensely involved in the overall coordination effort. Aubrey, did you want to add anything to that?
God. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. No, that was essentially it. And I think the other thing that we had was like standing committees, like anything else, and if it's not in there explicitly, we need to put it on a reviewed on an annual basis to see if it still serves a purpose, if it still serves a purpose, if it needs to be rechartered, if its purpose needs to be changed. So yeah, I think it's what you said. Hello?
Yeah, we're hearing you.
Okay. So yes, it's what you said. I think the only extra element is that there's periodic reviews. Is this something we want to keep? And I think we put that notion in on just about everything, and if we don't have it explicitly there on the standing committees, I don't have my computer in front of me now, so I don't remember. If we don't have it explicitly, that's certainly a worthwhile amendment that, you know, the role of the standing committee is reviewed yearly. And if the...
I'm pretty sure that's in there. I'm
pretty sure it's in there, right, too. I mean, because that was a step we went through on just about everything at the last time, that none of these things that we create are permanent. They're all recurring, but they're all need to be reviewed every year, and does this still make sense? Is the structure of the standing committee fulfilling a useful function in terms of looking for continued improvement as opposed to waiting for the next evaluation, you know, and such. So yeah.
Okay, thanks,
so,
Aubrey.
I guess if I still have the floor, Chuck,
go ahead.
Yeah, good. I guess we might want to analyze this differently. We might want to analyze this in two phases. One is an implementation of the recommendation phase, and then two is the long-term role of the standing committees and things like that. If we're trying to get this done in short time frame, we might want to just focus on implementation first and then focus on long-term, what would a standing committee do and evaluation of the standing committee. You know, there are things in here that need to be updated based on the bicameral approach. There's references to supermajority votes of the council. There's references to composition based on constituency. Should it be the houses? So the long-term role of the standing committees, we probably could move to phase two and move the implementation of the recommendations to phase one.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, I'm going to make a suggestion now. Please disagree with me if you don't like the suggestion. But because a couple different people in their comments have talked about the implementation of the bicameral voting structure, before we continue discussion of the plan itself, I think it would be helpful if we jump ahead to agenda item 5 and then come back and talk more about the plan after we see where we're at on the implementation of the bicameral voting structure, which has a goal of January to be in place. And that particular aspect of implementation didn't exist when we created the plan, as all of you know. I inserted, and this is one of the reasons why my agenda is long, just to keep things moving quickly, I inserted some of my own opinions in that regard. So let me ask, and I'll go over those in a minute if you are okay with that, but let me ask, is anybody opposed to me jumping ahead to this agenda item so that we kind of see how this short-term task that's in front of the GNSO, see how we're going to deal with that before we go back to the plan? Anybody object to that?
No, I support it.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Now, I threw these opinions out, and one of the reasons I put them in the agenda was a quick way for everybody to see them in advance and think about them. But please disagree with the opinions. They are just that. They're just my opinions, and the chair's opinions are no more important than anybody else's. Let me go through them quickly, and then let's talk about those and see where everybody's head is. And that was my goal in putting them on the table. I think that deciding how to seat representatives on the new council should primarily be the responsibility of the new stakeholder groups.
I don't really think there's a need for full council involvement in that task. If we agree with those two points, and also recognize the short time constraints we have, it might be better, in my opinion, to separate this task from the GNSO Improvements Implementation Plan, except for ensuring consistency of the two efforts. And obviously, there are interrelated things there. And then fourth, to achieve the January goal of implementing a bicameral structure, the task to make that happen in such short order really needs to start, you know, as close to immediately as possible. And then last of all, this team, this planning team, could serve a facilitation role of just getting all that started and wouldn't have to have any role beyond that. But because we are a planning team, we could maybe kick that off instead of waiting for a council meeting, which is still a little ways off, I think two weeks off, to get that task moving. Now, those are my opinions. Let me, would you rather take one at a time or just broad discussion? Any preferences there?
Well, I have, it's Wolf, so I have a question in this respect.
Go ahead.
If I'm right, so I think if you look to the present council, with the Cairo meeting, there the membership of I counted 9 members shall expire with Cairo meeting, and they shall be re-elected, or some the constituencies have to select somebody for who is for the council as a member. So. Doesn't this coincide with this plan? You know, if we look to the Cairo meeting, which takes place beginning of November, then the constituencies shall start or shall have somebody elected, a new council member, and then in January we will come up with a new voting structure, and which means we shall have the council shall have less members and other members maybe. So I wonder how this fits together.
It's an excellent question, Wolf, and I think that that's an area where this team could put some suggestions forward. For example, I've heard somebody say that, you know, maybe we extend the terms of existing councillors for a little bit so that this all fits together with it. But let's not. And so I think that there's a possibility if we decide as a team to kind of kick this thing off, and that may be our only role as a planning team, just to kind of spur it on, we could come forward with some suggestions to deal with issues like that. And the issue you raise is a very important one. So very good point. Does anybody have a preference? Should we take my opinions one at a time, or just want to just talk about them in total?
We can probably do it in total, because they tend to link together, Chuck.
Okay,
yeah.
So just talk about them as a group. Very, very good, Philip. If nobody objects to that, that's what we'll do. So let me start a queue for discussion of my opinions, and I'd like to hear your opinions. So who would like to be in the queue first?
Milton.
Hey, Milton. Next.
Bennett.
Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, Wolf.
Okay. Anybody else at this time? And you can jump in later, of course. Okay, let's start off with Milton.
I was relieved to see Agenda Item 5. I pretty much agree with your opinions, Chuck, about leaving this out of the full planning process, bureaucracy, and letting most of the work be done by the constituencies. I think when you say the task of making that happen needs to start ASAP, though, I'd like to know more what you mean by that. And also, I guess then I need to clarify my understanding of what is left if the seating of the representatives and the formation of the new stakeholder groups is not part of this GNSO planning process. My understanding is that what's left is the procedural stuff about working groups and how to form them and so on and so forth. Is that correct?
Right, and the revision of the PDP, that would be the two big tasks under the first standing committee, and then the operational standing committee would deal with things like communications between between the different SOs and constituency operations, because there's a lot of recommendations in the board's recommendations that have to do with that. And then there's the operational thing of how the council functions, like our procedural rules and stuff like that. That's another area that has to be worked. It seems like I'm leaving something out, but anyway, that's the work that this plan was originally designed to provide a structure for. Did that make sense? Now, you said something at the beginning. Let's see, what was the first question you asked?
What does it mean to make
ASAP?
That happen ASAP?
Well, as soon as, just what it says. I think if we could, for example, today, and I don't know that we'll get this done today, but if we could as a committee come up with a rough way to get this thing started, maybe even just go back to our own constituencies and in our, for our next call, decide how we can get going, and I think each of the stakeholder groups is going to need somebody to kind of take the lead in that regard. So I'm suggesting that then we may be able to spur this on by some recommendations we make within our own stakeholder groups.
Definitely. I mean, we have basically started preparing for the transition at the Paris meeting. But now that the uncertainty has been cleared up about where the responsibility lies, and the board has accepted the basic bicameral plan, we have a much better idea what to do, so we're ready to go. There are some ambiguities unique to the non-commercial stakeholders group that we might have time to talk about, but fundamentally, you know, I'm totally on board then with that part of your agenda, or your opinion, I should say.
Thanks. Okay, Philip.
Yeah, we were actually thinking of selling three of our representatives to the non-commercial group, which would simultaneously solve both our immediate representation problems. besides that, I think if we're serious about moving forward with the January deadline, in my mind, there are certain enabling things which the board needs to be aware of. We raised one of those in terms of, you know, we need a board resolution in terms of extending the life of certain councillors beyond time, otherwise they'd be impotent for 2 months. We need a decision about interim membership, if that is to happen by January. And then, to my mind, we still need three other things in place if we're not to have a completely impotent body, and that is the voting threshold. And even if we've got those in place, and somebody comes along with, hey, an actual policy issue on all this process stuff, and says, okay, guys, you're all sitting in the room, you're in your chambers, you've got your interim reps in place, you know your voting threshold, this is a major problem of the internet, let's vote to start a PDP. Hey, we can't do that because standing committee on the PDPs hasn't worked it out yet. And hey, we can't do that because we don't know how our working groups look yet. So we have this problem, I think, of misfit still, that we are concerned about in terms of building in impotency, simply because of an unseemly desire to be seen to be creating activity where the result of that activity will be impotent. And I think those are the questions that we as a planning group should be asking of the board, because it is only in their gift to change this particular set of problems in a good way.
Now let me respond first of all, but then in case it, maybe Susan or Denise might want to respond as well. With regard to voting thresholds, Philip, I totally agree with you. Those have to be in place, and my assumption is that the board would approve voting thresholds in their meeting later this month.
Yes, that's right, Chuck. That's the plan. And I haven't heard a lot of unhappiness with the voting thresholds. So my assumption is that they will be approved as suggested.
Yeah, and each of us as constituencies and other groups within ICANN community have been asked to provide comments. Denise asked that. And then secondly, with regard to policy, and I think I kind of hinted at this before, my assumption is that we would have to use our existing procedures and processes for developing policy until such time that we approve new ones. So we would be functioning the same other than the voting at the council level, as we have been all along in terms of the way we've been doing things, and we would be going by the existing PDP in that regard until such time as that has changed. So, and that seems reasonable to me. Susan or Denise, do you want to add anything there?
Yes, Chuck, I'd like to. It's Susan. I agree with you that the current PDP process should continue until it's changed. My one addition there would be that it would be appropriate to set a deadline by which you hope the PDP restructuring group will have done its work, just even as a checkpoint, just to make sure that this, the reworking, which is not going to be easy, doesn't drift too far.
And the plan that's in place right now really kind of left it to the steering committees and ultimately the teams themselves to set a schedule, but it's suggested that they set a schedule, and especially if you get into some of the detail work that has been provided that the teams could use and the steering committees could use when they are standing committees, excuse me, could use as ideas to start with. So the expectation is that there would be timelines, and that could be made firmer if it needs to be. Wolf.
Sorry, Chuck. I was wrong at this point. I do not have a comment to that. I was at another point. Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead on your. Well, I said I was going to give Denise a chance to talk on Philip's question. Denise, did you have anything to add?
Nope, I agree with Susan.
Okay, go ahead, Wolf, on your point.
No, it was supposed to be, I was thinking with the service implementation plan, so we are at another agenda item, so I refrain it.
Okay, all right. Anybody else want to talk about my opinions? Any other comments in that regard? Is anybody in disagreement with any of the assumptions I made there or the opinions I expressed? Okay. All right. So then, you know, there's the issue of, okay, to get this thing started, and I'm not talking about the implementation plan of the broader recommendations. I'm just talking about the guy implementing the bicameral voting structure, something that we wouldn't continue to be involved in as a planning committee. If there's support for the position that it wouldn't be our role, nor would it be the council's role. Here's some possible tasks for the stakeholder groups, and Milton, you may have some good ideas on this since you guys have started thinking, and I'm sure others have as well. It seems to me that the key role of the stakeholder groups is to develop proposals for seating representatives on the council in January, and then to submit those proposals to the board for approval at least a week prior to the board meeting on 11 December, which would be the 4th of December if it's a week ahead. Are there other tasks that people see that the stakeholder groups need to do in this with regard to the goal, the January goal of seating reps and the bicameral structure? Oh, okay. Then there's the idea, okay, then there's the challenges associated with the proposal development of the stakeholder groups. And I listed some things that, like I said in my email message with the revised agenda, was that I tried to do some of my own advanced personal thinking. And I think we'll all agree that the proposals that the stakeholder groups put forward need to be consistent with the total package of GNSO improvement recommendations. They need to incorporate in that process, and this is the tough one, how do you incorporate new members that may be not part of existing constituencies or interest groups, because none of those will be formed in time for this seating in January. Third, the mechanisms that are designed for seating representatives need to deal with the future when there will be new constituencies and interest groups that may become involved, and the proposals have to accommodate that. And then, of course, we all have the challenge of meeting the short time constraints. And John's point is very good, that I mean, I think is accurate, that in some ways the registries and registrars have it a little bit easier because we're not changing seats either up or down. But we also will have the challenge of making sure we design proposals that are appropriately deal with possible new constituencies or interest groups being a part of our stakeholder groups in the future as well. Now, can anybody think of other challenges that the stakeholder groups will have with regard to this short-term task?
Chuck, just to go down, you said how to incorporate new members, and what was the other challenge?
The one is involving potential new members or community members that aren't part of constituencies now that may be in your stakeholder group in the future. The second one, which is a little bit different, designing a proposal that will be submitted to the board that will accommodate the inclusion of new constituencies and interest groups in the stakeholder group in the future.
Sure.
Yep.
Make sense?
Definitely. That's basically what we've identified as the two main tasks.
Yeah, I figured you're way ahead of me on that, but I just wanted to kind of get these things in front of us very quickly.
Well, I wanted to ask, is there a template that we're supposed to follow? I mean, we would be developing a proposal based on the former charter of the NCUC, basically modifying it in ways designed to conform to the new situation. But is there some other structure that we're supposed to follow?
I don't believe there is. Now, Rob sent something around today. It's not a template, but I think, Rob, and I'll let you talk about that, that what you tried to do was to pull out of the board recommendations some critical principles with regard that the stakeholder groups need to keep in mind as they're developing a proposal to submit to the board. Rob, would you like to talk to that?
Yes, thanks, Chuck. That's correct. I mean, as we were looking at some of this stuff from a staff perspective and looking at the timetables that were facing all of you, the real challenge became, okay, what sort of hooks are there, what sort of guidance is there, and the seminal document to that is the Board Governance Committee Working Group report that was produced on February 3rd. So what I did is I went back through that document trying to cull those general principles or specific recommendations that the BGCWG made and try to just present a format that, you know, and this group can change or play around with it, but essentially to create a format that gives that guidance, you know, that really provides some measure of a framework or just a checklist that, as you discussed, Milton, it's not a specific template, but something that as you go through it to say, oh, did we do this? Did we do that?
Well, this is fantastic. I didn't even know this had been sent out, so I see it here in my mailbox. I have it open now, and it's I haven't read it all yet, but it's the kind of guidance I can send to other people, and that's great.
Paragraph 6 is what you want to read, Milton.
Yeah. What's that?
Paragraph 6 is what you want to read.
Would it be helpful, because this hasn't been out very long, to have Rob quickly go through the 9 principles that he included, and they're all from the report, the Board Governance Committee Working Group report. Would anybody like that? No? Okay, then we won't take the time. If somebody would benefit by it, I would be more than willing to spend the time on that. But each of us, of course, can read it ourselves. And they're right out of the Board Governance Committee Working Group report that was approved by the board. So, and he gives page references so you can go back and see the detail. And you could find some of these in multiple places as well of the report. But I think there's not too much duplication in the 9 that are listed there.
I said it, just with a comment on them. I think, I mean, the whole concept of new constituencies raises a vast set of issues. I'm just looking at it within the commercial group. I mean, we see that happening in one of two ways. I mean, you get a bunch of people who are new, who have never managed to find before, or you get a splinter group of existing constituencies, and I think the big question for us is what will be the look and the shape of the stakeholder group and its underlying constituencies and relationship between those and its voting structure. You know, do you build in questions of diversity, geographic or of interest group within that? Would you be happy with six American ISPs as our representatives, or six French intellectual property lawyers, or should we have some better means of diversity in the structure? So it's questions like that that we will be looking at, and clearly take longer than the January deadline to sort out.
Chuck, this is Rob. If I can comment on Philip's thought.
Go ahead.
I think it's a combination of things, Philip, from, you know, going back and having read this and committed to read this document many more times than I'd ever like to admit to. I mean, I think it's fair to say that the BGC report was not filled with specific recommendations, but you have these broader principles, these general thoughts, and my perspective, being still relatively new to ICANN, was that there was an expectation that the constituencies and stakeholder groups would move toward filling in these blanks consistent with the overall approach and ethos of ICANN. Now, what was very clear in the Board Governance Committee report was a sense that the stakeholder group concept not create an extra level of bureaucracy. So the real challenge here is how to provide a framework, create some level of process and understanding within each of the stakeholder groups that's not overly bureaucratic, but yet gives enough guidance and strength there. I think built into what the board has approved is that there's an expectation that these stakeholder groups will go back and share with the board what the plan is and receive that approval. So in doing that, you're almost forced to be true to those overall principles, be true to these checklists, so that the board can very comfortably say, okay, yeah, check, 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 you've done all this, as opposed to, in your one very stark example, I think if you came forward with, yes, six French IP lawyers, that would not pass the smell test. So it's really an exercise of getting as close as possible, and I think being as true to the spirit of what's being intended here.
And did I get in the queue here?
Yeah, sure. Just one second. I want to ask Susan a question. Milton, I've got you in the queue. Susan, I've been kind of assuming personally that the plans or the proposals for seating representatives on the council under the bicameral structure from the different stakeholder groups would not have to be the same. They could vary depending on the needs of the stakeholder group. Is that a fair assumption on my part, do you think?
Yeah, that's true. And I think Rob's right. So what's been set forth here is an aspiration that the groups would organize themselves and would do so based on their own principles. As long as, I mean, the overarching thing here recommended back in 2006 is that it's easier for people to understand from the outside what's going on and where they might feel most effective. So that's the important thing. But as far as how people get on the council or, you know, the method by which different groups are created and what their power is, that's all up to the individual constituencies.
Thank you.
This is Denise. So I would agree with all of that, and that the last board resolution does indicate an implementation plan to be submitted for board approval. So we are looking at a lightweight process whereby the proposal structuring the stakeholder groups and seating the council members would be submitted to the board for their.
Hey, Denise, we can barely hear you. You're breaking up a lot.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes, better.
Plans for creating and running the initial stakeholder groups and seating the initial council members would be submitted to the board for their review and approval.
But it's unlikely that the board will want to delve into those details, I have to say.
Right. Yeah, and I would agree with what Susan had said about. I also get the strong impression that board members want to provide overall guidance, but then empower the GNSO community to create the structures that work best for them.
Thank you, Denise. Okay, Milton.
Yeah, I just have been reading these principles, and there's a serious problem with number 5 and 6. The problem is not what you might think I'm going to say it is with respect to 6. The odd thing about number 6 is that all of those groups that you list are currently members of the non-commercial constituency. There's not a single category there that isn't currently represented. So I'm wondering why you say go far beyond, because but the problem here is not that, because that just shows that many people on the board or the staff are not that aware of what's going on with us, which we know all too well. What's interesting here is that you're talking about individuals, and we have made already, we have actually 3 individual members now. We have created a template, and by the way, they're provisional and non-voting until we revise our charter in line with this process. But we think that there are commercial and non-commercial individuals. That is, there are people who are maybe individual domainers or consultants or people who basically are interested in the business aspects of domain name policy. And there are people who are either sort of family or non-profit oriented, or people who are mostly just interested in sort of the public interest policy aspects of domain name policy. And we have been assuming that individuals would be welcome in both the non-contracting party stakeholder groups, that we would get individuals that considered themselves more interested in the personal or policy aspects, and that the commercial stakeholders would get individuals interested in the business and commercial aspects. Now, if you don't have an individual category on the commercial side, that means that every individual who wants to join is going to come to us. And I don't want to go on too long, but let me tell you a story here that just happened in the last few days. We got an application from .CYM for the non-commercial. It's a non-profit group that wants to run a new top-level domain registry in the Welsh script. Welsh script. Try saying that quickly. All right. We told them, well, this is really strange. I mean, you are a non-profit. You have lots of cultural groups that are your members. But as soon as you become a registry, you belong in a registry constituency, and we certainly don't want the non-commercial users to be sort of dominated by people who want to get domain names and be suppliers. So we're going to say no. But why don't you ask some of your constituents who are these Welsh cultural organizations to join us as a pure NGO? What that tells you, and then why did they protest and why were they worried about this decision? Well, they feel there's no place for them, and they're right. If there's no place for them, they will come to us because we look like, you know, the grab bag that might accept them. And that is what would happen with individuals, too. We would get every individual who couldn't join the commercial stakeholders group and might have purely commercial interests and motives would suddenly be applying for us, because it would be the only avenue or channel for them to participate. So that's a concern. Nothing else in here looks really bad, but I think, and again, on the whole, it's a great guidance for us, and I'm really happy we have this document, but I just want you to be aware of that possibility, because it's a problem that we've been dealing with for a long time. People come to us when there's no other place for them to go.
Well, Milton, you raise a good point on the commercial individual versus the non-commercial. I'm curious, Philip, as to whether or not you have any members in the business constituency that are essentially individuals, you know, sole proprietorship or something like that, in the...
Well, I think you do, and you may be familiar with some of them. Marilyn Cade, Mike Pollard, Mike O'Connor, Mike Rodenbach, Liz Williams. They're all members of the BC. They're all basically one-man band.
Do you have some domainers that are members, too, that are...
We've also got... we've got domainers who are members, but mostly through their association. We've got a few company domainers who have joined recently.
It's become
a favorite group for domainers. They're particularly planning some sort of coup in the next election. We look forward to that.
Individual sole proprietorships or something to that list, I would think.
Yeah, and on Perspective Registries, we've also had the pleasures of Dot Travel in the past and Dot Berlin currently. So I think it may be, depending on how the reality looks at itself, ultimately there's going to be a not-for-profit or a for-profit that has determined where they think they could have an inroad. But it raises the older question that there is bizarrely no home in the GNSO for prospective registries,
right.
And maybe
right.
That's something we need to consider.
Right.
Chuck, if I could just add a note.
I was just going to call on you.
this precise subject was discussed within the board, the asymmetry between having individual registrants specifically called out for the non-commercial part of the non-contracted house and not mentioned for the commercial part was a subject of board discussion, and there was a feeling that they should be equally open to individuals who felt themselves to be aligned with one side or the other of that divide. I agree with everybody that there's a gap here for prospective registries and registrars, and I'm hoping that with the formation of these more easy to understand stakeholder groups, that there will be room for them on one side or the other in the non-contracted house.
Yeah, let's be clear. In the proposal that we made earlier, we explicitly said that we would welcome individuals. There is no resistance to that. It's something that the BGC may not have picked up, but that was in our own proposal.
Thank you. I didn't know that. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Susan, and thanks, Philip. That's helpful. Good points, Milton. Anybody else want to talk about the principles that Rob sent around? Okay. Then
this is Milton. I'm going to have to get off the phone.
This is Aubrey. I'm sorry, Milton. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying I have to get off. But I have another conference call at 7, so I'm sorry to depart.
Milton, please watch the action items and minutes that come out of the meeting for what happens afterwards so that we have a connection there. Thank you for all your contributions.
All right.
And this is Aubrey. I have to say pretty much the same thing. I have a dinner meeting I'm coming up, so I've got to go off and get to where I'm going. I appreciate what Rob put together. So I'll pay attention to what's going on, too, and I'll catch up with you later. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Aubrey. Thanks, Milton. Okay. So as far as kicking off the stakeholder group work, any suggestions, any ideas how we could? I mean, is it enough for this group just to the various constituency representatives in this group that are in a particular stakeholder group, and we did have one from every stakeholder group up until now, to go back to their stakeholder groups and get this thing moving, or should we be more specific? What are your thoughts on that?
I think light touch is going to be the best thing. The whole point about stakeholder groups is that they're about stakeholders self-organizing, and therefore all we need to do, I think, is see that things are happening, and it's a longer-term plan. But as I said, for us, the most important thing is the point that I think for the immediacy. Is the point that Wolf raised about the upcoming elections. Do we hold them, or do we have an extension? And that has to be a board decision, because it's a bylaw alteration. And the point I made earlier about January, if that is a desire, that's got to be interim. And we need also the board decision on that. And then we can look at retrofitting that structure to the existing PDP, which will have some tensions as well. But perhaps that can be done with a bit of ugly drafting if the desire of our board is to have this all done by then.
Would anybody in this call be opposed to recommending, now we don't have any decision-making power on this team, but of recommending that the terms of existing councillors be extended and that the board authorize that to accommodate the transition that's in front of us?
Yes. This is John. We would object to that, and that we have an election scheduled for a new counselor due to our term limit policy in our bylaws. So that would violate our own bylaws by doing that.
Okay. Well, would you?
But for, again, for us, it doesn't matter because right. we're going from three to three. So, you
so
know,
would you object if other constituencies want it worked better for them to extend their?
If you give the choice to the constituency, then I would not object.
Okay. Yeah. Is anybody opposed to that?
No, Chuck, it was. So we shall have a constituency call tomorrow, so, and this is one point to discuss. So we could come later on with the result to that. But I would like to have it open, to leave it open for us.
Okay, thank you. Susan, is this, now the problem is we don't have a council meeting for 2 weeks, and so is this something that maybe the board could provide some direction on?
Well, here's the situation. This is the retreat is not actually a voting board
right.
meeting. It will help us if this is just cogently written down in a paragraph, and then we can discuss it. Then I can come back in sort of a liaison way and say this is what the board is thinking. But I can't actually give you a vote on anything.
No, understand. So you could at least give us a sense of the board so that we could communicate the sense, and then we could go through the process. I suppose we'd probably have to have a motion at a council motion on the 25th.
Right.
And like that, but as long as there was a general sense that this is the direction we're going, at least constituencies could plan reasonably well in terms of what the expectations would be. So if unless somebody else wants to do it, I'll write down something and send it to Susan in this regard and include the ideas there would be future council action and so forth.
And also add to that note the voting thresholds need to be approved.
And
which is another dependency.
Yeah, that's very good. Okay, good. So everybody's okay with that, and feel free to communicate with your constituencies in that regard. Now, as far as getting this moving, we have two people from the commercial stakeholder group on the call, Philip and Wolf. Is it fair to assume that you guys will go back to your constituencies and communicate with UTA and the intellectual property constituency and start, you know, getting things going? You may already have things going with regard to your stakeholder group.
Yeah, absolutely. We already started that dialogue.
Yeah, and it just for kind of, that since there's no other oversight body, not that we have any control, it'd probably be helpful if nobody objects. Somebody objects, that's what we won't do it. But if in our next meeting in the planning team, we just had a quick update in terms of what's happening there, if for no other reason to be able to let the board know what's going on. Anybody object to that? Okay. All right.
Susan, if you think that's going to be my task for now, I can drop off and go join the retreat.
I think probably that would be okay.
Okay.
We can always hit you up later.
Okay. And I'll be online and available for anything else.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Very good. And sounds like Milton is already working on the task from their side. So, just want to write myself a note. Just 1 second. Okay. Then I think we've kind of covered that. Is there anything anybody else wants to talk about with regard to the implementation of the bicameral voting structure? So, other than a report. You know, a brief report just kind of for information purposes next time. The planning committee won't be involved in that. The stakeholder groups will be doing that, and the council will need to act on a motion to provide the option of extending terms and get the board to act on that and so forth. Any other discussion on that topic, agenda item number 5?
That's fine for me.
Okay, then let's go back to the plan. And spend our last 20 minutes or so talking about the plan to see if we can at least get a little bit of direction about next steps in that regard. Unfortunately, Milton's not on, but let's try and talk about his topic of simplification of the structure a little bit. Do others have thoughts about... about the simplification of the structure, and in particular, he talked about the standing committees lasting too long.
It's a concern we share as well. I think it's potentially an issue if you have standing committees and various teams, etc., under that. I mean, I think we discussed this previously on the same group, there is a balance between the division of labor and the coherence there. And I think we just need to look at that balance and make sure we have it right.
Do you think, Philip, that if a change was made to give the standing committees a specific end date, and that could be either a date or once certain tasks are completed, and then they only are continued if a decision is made rather than the way it's structured right now, whether they go on indefinitely until such time as they are ended?
I think that'd be better. I mean, always. I think just having a refresh clause, if you like, in the life of anybody is good.
Could you come back between now and our next meeting with maybe a suggested change in the plan to accomplish that?
That's it. Pretty straightforward. I mean, that's.
It is. I'm just asking you to.
I would probably suggest something like the middle of next year, June 30th, 2009. After which the group should be a vote of council is required to continue with them.
Rob, can you take the lead on that then?
Sure.
And proposing a change, maybe we can do a red line of the plan as it stands now. Without all the edits I've done, just to show people what it is that we're talking about there. And then we can talk to Milton maybe on list to see if that deals with the concern he had. Any other thoughts on the simplification of the structure?
Okay. I think because that's the question I asked at the very beginning of the call, and you may have answered it, but I got cut off, I think, because you were doing so, which is it would be useful to know, and maybe Rob, you could go through it and give us an idea, as to the resourcing requirements per constituency that would likely be required in the standing committees and the teams, assuming no duplication of roles.
Sure, I'll do that.
Okay.
And when you say resource
people,
requirements,
people.
So, yeah, people, okay.
Okay. Okay. Good. Now, John, you had brought up, I think the issues you brought up the idea of separating an implementation phase and a long-term phase, and is that kind of covered by the change that Philip just suggested?
I'm not sure. I guess I find, and maybe it's an issue of nomenclature, but I find the question of how long should a standing committee last to be an oxymoron. I mean, a standing committee is standing. It's there permanently. So I think if we are looking at this in a way where we need an initial committee to help implement or, the BCG changes, BGC changes, then maybe we set up an initial committee on either process or organization or something, and then if we think one of those recommendations would be to have a standing committee of the GNSO Council to do X, Y, and Z, that's one of the recommendations those implementation committees could agree on.
So do you have a specific recommendation for modifying the plan in that regard?
No.
Or could you come up with one between now and our next meeting?
It is a question of changing the wording, isn't it? I think you're right, John, on semantics. I mean, if you want to call the standing committee the GNSO Improvements Committee, whose life needs to be renewed every 6 months, we've done it, haven't we?
Or call them steering committees, or, you know.
And then pull out any long-term proposals that we might have in here already, and I honestly need to look at it a lot more closely, but if
I agree, yeah. We're the same, so I think why we should definitely do it. We do need to look through this plan on another call in greater depth, but making those there's label changes would I think help shape that to review.
Yeah, and feel free to go through the document and highlight those areas. Any other general thoughts? The last thing I'd like to do is go through the edits that I think are non-material and the areas I flag in the document that we do need some decisions on. And I don't think any of them are terribly material to the plan itself, but just to clean it up. Anything else before we do that? Okay. Then let's see where I have that that document is. I'm having trouble finding that. I thought I had it up here. It's down here. Bear with me while I scroll down on the wiki to get to that.
Well, and your edits, Chuck, were largely, you know, minor.
Yeah, well, if people have looked through them, maybe we don't even need to go through them. Are people okay with those edits, or should we go through those edits?
Well, I have some, it's Wolf, so I have some comments to your comments. It's not only edits, but...
Go ahead, please, Wolf.
There was a question, let me see, find this. Concerning the membership in the standing committee.
Mm-hmm.
You commented, well, it may be reasonable to reflect that with regards to the new structure, the voting structure.
Right.
So, and the new stakeholder structure. So I'm of a different opinion in that respect. So I think here in those committees and teams, let me say, there should be a kind of working structure, more be a kind of working structure than a kind of, let me say, political structure also in that. So that means the constituencies themselves, they should be members of those teams, of those standing committees, not only the stakeholder groups. It might be different. If you look from the level of the stakeholder group, it might happen that not all constituency members, constituencies are could participate in that standing committee. So that's my concern in that respect.
So what would be your recommendation for change of the membership part of the plan?
No, I wouldn't change that.
Oh, you're okay with the way the membership is outlined in the plan for the for the standing committees, steering committees, whatever we call them.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then back. I'm sorry. So you're okay with that?
I'm okay with the existing one, but you raised the comments. Well, to discuss whether the existing one should be...
Right. Comment number three, on the process standing committee, it was comment number three. Should this be reconsidered to fit the stakeholder model now or in the future?
So, I would leave it as it is.
Okay. Other thoughts on that?
Sure, John. If we do this delineation between, initial implementation, then I have no problem keeping it the way it is. But if we're looking at a future committee, we might want to think about changing it based on the new House structure. Talking about constituencies when there might be additional constituencies out there, we don't know about the growth. We're talking about keeping the size of these committees at a certain level. We might want to consider using the House contracted parties and non-contracted parties House as part of representation in the committee.
Yeah, so it probably would have to be re-looked at down the road, but what I'm hearing from at least the two of you is leave it this way for the initial formation of the standing committees. We might have to build in here some sort of an option for review once the new structure is in place. Good point. Other thoughts on that?
So if I'm comfortable with that, I think we don't need it cosmetic.
So Rob, you can help me kind of stay on top of that we do that. Now, in the chart, one of the things we need to do in the chart is change the board implementation consulting group box. It's on page 10 of the report. Apparently, we had thought originally that there might be a small group of the Board Governance Committee or something that would be a consulting group. Apparently, it sounds like that's not going to happen, and I did confirm this with, I think Susan confirmed this with Rob, that we'll replace that with the board liaison. I think it can go in that box instead of a consulting group. So, and Susan is willing to be that liaison. Now, I believe Susan's term's expiring, so I haven't talked about that, but there will be a board liaison, I'm sure, and maybe she'll continue to do that even after she's off the board, but I don't know if that even works, but that's another change that would have to be made. Is it fair to assume, then, that the, with the exception of the yellow highlighted areas, that nobody's opposed to just accepting the edits that I made in the in this report? Again, they're just edits to bring us up to date in terms of where we're at time-wise and events that have occurred and so forth. So if anybody object to that?
Chuck, only the question about the start date for standing committees. It's still 27th of June in your text, but okay, which one do you prefer?
Oh, so I didn't fix that one, huh? We better catch that one. Yeah.
Shouldn't that be the next council meeting? After the council has taken a vote on that?
What we're going to do, we're going to submit this plan to the council. And that would be, we're hoping to do it, if we can wrap it up in one more meeting, which I think is realistic based on what I've heard today, if we can wrap it up our next meeting, then we can give it to the council for their action, and we could leave that blank if we wanted to, but the start date or something. So, but good point, and that's one I missed. Any other thoughts on that? Now, what about this idea of, we already had a comment period. It's my opinion, and I may be way off base here, but it's my opinion that, what we're talking about today in terms of some modifications to this plan really doesn't significantly change it to the point where we need to go out to the public and get another comment period. Does anybody disagree with me on that?
I think not public, but we need to have an edit that is clean and sufficient time for it to go to constituencies to read and comment back before we need to vote on it in council.
Right, totally agree. And my thinking would be is that if we can in one more meeting kind of wrap this thing up, send it to the council and ask constituency reps to get it to their and advisory liaisons to get it to their people right away, so that we can talk about it on the council meeting on the 25th and hopefully act on it. I would think that would suffice. And we can, Rob, maybe you can help us do a quick summary of the changes, the main changes that were made that are material, which are even those aren't terribly major, I don't think, but that would at least help people see what we did that was different.
Sure, Chuck. The one thing that I just ask you to be mindful of is the timing. I don't know how strongly you, Ivory, and the council would treat the 7 days prior to the 25th, given the difficulty of getting this group together next week.
Yeah,
at least early in the week.
We're going to have a problem there. We'll have to, I think, deal with that as we go, because the last thing we're going to do today is try and figure out a time for our next meeting. And
Chuck, this is John. Let me ask a question. If we just divorced the January 1 deadline, what's our deadline for this group? And is there any more flexibility in time such that we don't have to rush to the next council meeting?
My opinion only, John. Well, it would really be nice if we can get the start forming the steering committees and right away, and actually, and maybe even some of the working teams before Cairo, so that we could take advantage of a lot of us being together in Cairo. One of the things that we've allotted for on the weekend is some time to talk about GNSO improvements and maybe break up into some steering committee meetings or working teams to start working on this. We don't have another meeting for, you know, several months after that, so it would be really nice if we could take advantage of that. Now, we may not be able to. So that's kind of why I'm pushing a little bit to see if we can pull it off. If we can't, we'll have to deal with it.
Yeah, I have some sympathy with John's approach, because I think we just talked earlier and tasked Susan to basically look at the interim approaches to making things work with extensions of terms of office, and interim appointees, etc. If that's all in place, then indeed the rest of the work can have a slightly more relaxed and considered time frame. So, Cairo will still be useful, we'll still be talking about these things, but I wouldn't regard it as terribly disappointing if we don't actually have a committee in place by then. We're still going to have the people who may be on that committee in place by then.
Right. Yeah, other thoughts on that? So, is the feeling then is that we don't, you know, it would be nice if before the 25th September meeting, we at least have presented a plan, but it looks like we might not be able to get it enough in advance to really make a decision. So we could at least have an opportunity to talk about the plan with the rest of the council, with action on the next council meeting, which will be in October, correct?
Yeah, I mean, my thing is that's going to be better because, you know, there's a whole bunch of people in all of our constituencies who haven't probably paid attention to, you know, the last time we sent this around. But now we're formed with the bicameral discussions and everything else are up there. They may want to start paying attention now that we reoffer it. So I don't think we can just assume that, past circulation is going to be useful at this point where we're looking at things with different perspectives. I think that extra time is needed.
Okay, I'm fine with that. And what I will do sometime within the next couple hours is send out a clean plan where only changes being accepting the changes that were just minor edits and leaving the yellow highlighting to make sure that we deal with those issues and also the one that Wolf brought up so that then people can work from that if they want to suggest additional edits before our next meeting. Now, let's last of all talk about dates for our next meeting. Looks like Monday through Thursday next week is pretty much out. Olga, are you still on?
Yes, I'm here.
And you're traveling. You're unavailable all day Friday, right?
Friday, I will be going back home to Buenos Aires, so I'll be the whole day in a plane.
Okay, and then the next week is the week of the council meeting. So, Glenn,
Thursday,
go ahead.
Afternoon, Thursday late in the afternoon could be fine.
So Thursday late in the afternoon could be fine for you. It might not work for Milton. Sounds like Avery could also do it, like between she said what 6 and 8 or something Central European time. Glenn. Would you send out a doodle for those for some times? There aren't very many. Actually, it's probably just times between 6 p.m. Central European and 8. So see if those will work for the next meeting. If not, then I think we're going to have to go to the next week on Monday or Tuesday.
Okay, Chuck, I'll do that just later.
Okay. Our hour and a half that I predicted is pretty close to being up. Is there anything else that we've missed that we should talk about before I adjourn?
Just a quick question, Chuck. The yellow highlights, that represents issues that you think we need to discuss?
Well, some of them may need some discussion. It's mainly issues that... let me find where my document is. I lost it. I guess I scrolled back past it. Yeah, those were things that I didn't actually make an edit, but depending on what we decided today, we actually may have covered some of those. We'll look at those in our next meeting so that we make sure we've accommodated. I was just trying to flag some things where we needed to update, but it wasn't a matter of just a simple edit that I could do unilaterally.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Not for me.
Okay, we made great progress. Thanks a lot, and watch for the doodle, and we'll see if we can't get a meeting maybe later in the day Thursday.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.